welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. If you're running a business or thinking of starting one, you may be questioning how you can improve the success of your business. It is a frustration for many, for sure. Tax and accounting expert John Hewitt is founder and CEO of Liberty Tax Service and has written a book about creating success in business. The book is called I Compete: How My Extraordinary Strategy for Winning Can Be Yours. Great title. Hey, John, welcome to America Weekend.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You are a successful business owner of a nationally known tax preparation firm. You help individuals and businesses with their strategy toward success. But for you, it wasn't always that way. So take me back to the early years of John Hewitt.
Yeah, I was very fortunate because 47 years ago, I was a student at the University of Buffalo, and my degree was in mathematics. And of course, I had no idea what I would do when I grew up. I don't know what a mathematician would do. And I got lucky. My dad was the CFO of a public company, an MBA, and he called up H&R Block and said, we want to buy a franchise for my son and I in Hamburg, New York, which is a suburb of Buffalo. And they said, well, we're going to put a company store in Hamburg next year. Why don't you have your son take our tax course and maybe he could work for us? And Valerie, I took the course, and it was the most interesting course I'd ever taken. And the rest is history. 47 years of excitement and growth.
You know, I've never quite heard it said that way, that it was an exciting course in tax preparation, but you obviously found something that really struck a chord for you and were able to grow business exponentially. You have a talent for that. You're an entrepreneur. You've had a number of different businesses. What is it about you as an entrepreneur that even if a business goes south, you're able to pick up and start again?
Well, I think it's, Valerie, it's two things. Number one is I'm a consummate competitor, and as such, I'm a horrible loser. So I have this crazy, obsessive goal to always win. And part of winning is perseverance. When, you know, everyone in life gets knocked down, I've never met anyone that got to skate through. God presents problems for everyone. And the winners just keep up and keep going. And I think clearly perseverance is the number one attribute in success.
I agree. And, you know, in the performance world, which is also a business, but it's talent-based, it's your own individual performance, singing, dancing, whatever it is that one does, it's a very tough go. But in my experience, it's the people who just don't stop that do win. So I agree with you 100%. What are the myths about running a successful business, John, that you'd like to shoot down?
Well, one thing for sure is that that anyone can do it. You know, I brought in 5,000 franchisees in my career. So I've started 5,000 people on their entrepreneurial trek. And most of America, when they do surveys of Americans of how many people want to be self-employed, I think about historically about two-thirds of people say, yes, pick me, pick me. But I found that only about a third of people really have the wherewithal to be successful in small business. They either don't have the drive or the work ethic or the risk-taking, because there's going to be risk. There's going to be scary financial times, and that's not for everyone.
Yeah, those three components absolutely make up a successful business person. I just got the terrible news from a dear friend of mine that they were closing, she and her husband were closing a restaurant that they started 5 years ago. It's a beautiful spot in New York City, absolutely delightful. I love to go there, and they couldn't continue. So I'm feeling terrible for them today. I'm sure you come across this all the time in different businesses. What would you say to an individual like that? How could they in the future turn that concept around and really build a successful restaurant or whatever business it might be?
You know, I've had that experience in the sense that although I didn't have an unsuccessful business, I had a successful business for 15 years, and we sold it for $500 million, and I got to start all over again. And I said to myself, you know, after running a business for 15 years, if you can't do it a lot better the second time, you're an idiot. And I just think that the lessons you learned and the lessons your friends learned in that last 5 years, I bet you if they sat down like I did after my 15-year career and sold our business, I sat down with my top people and said, if we were going to start all over again, what would we do different? Mm-hmm. And we came up with 10 commandments. I bet you there they got their MBA in restaurateur, and they need to sit down, if they want to give it another go, they need to sit down and come up with the Ten Commandments of how to do it again and do it differently this time to be successful.
Excellent, excellent idea. I'm speaking with John Hewitt, author of I Compete: How My Extraordinary Strategy for Winning Can Be Yours. Let's talk about your extraordinary strategy for winning. One of those items is creating raving fans. I love the term raving fans.
Yes, on Wall Street, the mantra is creating shareholder value, and that's been a mantra for over 20 years. I disagree with that because my job as a CEO of a public company is not to create shareholder value. My job is to have more and more customers, to exceed expectations of more and more customers. And in the Purple Goldfish, Stan Phelps talks about when you come to a party or a restaurant or a reservation and it's at 6 o'clock, people are either early or late. Almost no one is exactly on time. And he said, in the same way at serving customers, you either exceed their expectations or fail to meet them. And very few customers do you meet their expectations exactly. So as a CEO, my job is to exceed a greater and greater percentage of customers' expectations. If I do that, then our shareholders are going to be happy, our board of directors are going to be happy, our employees are going to be happy. If I don't do that, we're going to go out of business.
So the first thing to do is to make sure that the people you're servicing are thrilled, beyond thrilled, right?
Exactly. You have to exceed. And in today's society, they don't just measure against your competitor in your own industry. They measure you against every customer experience, whether it's at a restaurant, on an airplane, at Disney, wherever they shop and have a customer experience, they compare you. So you don't just have to be your competitor. You have to be in a class by yourself.
Very, very true. So what is a thing or two, a couple of things a company can do to differentiate itself from others?
We have a couple secret sauces that aren't that difficult. Our business is not rocket science. You don't have to be a MBA or a PhD, but you do have to serve customers. What I found, Valerie, is that there's only one way that you know whether you're exceeding customers' expectations, and that's if you ask them. Most businesses have surveys. They have a mail-in survey, or today they have an online survey, and we found that less than 5% of people are going to fill out a survey. And it's either the people that are really happy or really unhappy. So we do something that almost no national company does. We call every customer and ask them how we did for them, how we can improve. And if they're happy, which well over 90% are, we ask them to refer their friends, send their friends in. So we get more referrals and we get more happy customers because they like being asked how we did for them.
From that survey, have you garnered some really good information that you've been able to use?
Exactly. And when you think of our business, we're a service business, right? We don't have a product. We have a service. We take people's information and then send it to the government for them and then expedite their refunds for them. So what we find is that when they have an issue or when they're happy, it comes down to the hour that they spend with that tax preparer. It's not the color of the rug or whether the rug's clean or the bathroom or whether they got coffee. Their thinking about Liberty Tax and their evaluation is all in that time they spent with that tax preparer.
And that is it. It's the one-on-one human interaction.
Exactly. That's the only way you win.
So, what can a business owner, any business owner, do to increase their customer base besides creating a great informational relationship and a human high touch? What else can they do to increase their business?
We specialize in there are a number of ways we get customers into our locations. There's either their referral, the traditional paid advertising, the location itself and the signing of that location. And we have guerrilla marketing. We have waivers in front of our location, a la McDonald's had waivers and Burger King had waivers and Wendy's. We copy that. We have more than anyone in America. But guerrilla marketing is our forte, where we get in the community. We go business to business. We provide seminars and we talk about the Statue of Liberty at as early as elementary school. And we just get in the community at strawberry festivals and oyster festivals and parades and talk about Liberty Tax and just present it. You know, the name Liberty Tax lends itself to being an icon and being easily recognizable.
Some great information and advice, John Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Valerie. Have a wonderful day.
I'm Valerie Smaldone on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Do you ever pretend you're someone you're really not? Well, researchers know at least four places where everyone puts on airs and tries to come across as better than we really are. Here's the science of it. Researchers have found that the following places prompt a change in our behavior for the better. For instance, at the front desk of a snazzy hotel everyone puts on airs, we take on the tone of the establishment. In the employment line, we try and pretend that we don't belong. In a new car showroom, we hold back, act as if we know what we're doing to get a great deal. Finally, in the principal's office, we're not responsible for any bad behavior. What's the cheap psychological trick? If these places bring out the best in you, then you're capable of behaving more responsibly other places, too. Has this ever happened to you? Drop me a line at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. In 2013, the Justice Department fined Walgreens $8 million. What was this particular violation about? A. Health and safety issues. B. Drug expiration dates. C. Prescription kickbacks. The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.
Walgreens offered $25 gift cards to anyone who would move their prescription to the Walgreens pharmacy. If they induced Medicare or Medicaid members, that type of prescription kickback is a violation of federal law. And that's the final verdict.